If we aim at happiness in this world, we're probably going to miss the mark of holiness.
In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today on that scary word, holiness. I said yesterday that holiness is not perfection. It's not religiosity. And Thomas Merton, in his little book called Life and Holiness, says the Christian striving for holiness, and the striving for holiness remains an essential of the Christian life, must then be placed today within the context of the church's action on the threshold of a new age. It is not permissible to delude ourselves with a retreat into a vanished past. Holiness is not, and never has been, a mere escape from responsibility and from participation in the fundamental task of man to live justly and productively with his fellow men. Did you know that it's the will of God that you should be holy? How do I know that? I found it in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 2 and 3. Paul says, "You know what orders we gave you in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God, that you should be holy." We are called to be holy. It may seem like a strange, far-out, theoretical, much too theological word for you, and you feel that it has no relevance whatsoever. But it is an eminently down-to-earth, practical word. The golden rule, which most people know, but probably a lot of people don't know really, is in the Bible. We are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, not do unto others as they do unto you, as some people would have it. But if we really lived by that, it would take some very deep down revisions in our thinking, some scouring and cleansing of our hearts, and some radical changes in our intimate lives with our families. Holiness is practical. People who are truly holy are easier to live with, much easier. Do you know any holy people? I don't mean just religious. I don't mean people who talk religion. But do you know some people who are really Christ-like? What are they characterized by? What are the outstanding characteristics of the people you know who are holy, Christ-like? I would say selflessness is one of them. And selflessness is even better than unselfishness, because selflessness has no thought whatsoever of itself, whereas unselfishness can be saying, "I'm being unselfish." And then another characteristic would be serenity. Those are two outstanding characteristics of the holy people that I know. What about you? Whatever your list is, where does it come from? Well, it comes from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is a holy spirit. An old hymn says, "Every virtue we possess, and every victory won, and every thought of holiness is His alone." Every virtue we possess, every victory won, and every thought of holiness is His alone. Now, the real definition of holiness from the Old Testament is set apart. The holy vessels of the tabernacle in the wilderness were not made of a different kind of gold from a king's vessels, for example, or a different kind of brass than any common person would have in his house. They might not even have been a different shape or a different design. The shovels and the pans and the fire pots and the basins and the candlesticks and the snuffers. But they were holy in that they were set apart for God, separated from the ordinary. Every Christian is meant to be a vessel, bearing the life and death of Jesus. And the life and death of Jesus are not commodities which are passed on as on an assembly line, but it is a living work accomplished in personal sanctification. I hope I haven't lost you yet. Let me say again, every Christian is meant to be a vessel bearing the life and death of Jesus. Paul uses this expression over and over again in one form or another. We are nothing but clay pots, he says. But within, we bear a treasure, a priceless treasure, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If we call ourselves Christians, that means a willingness to identify ourselves totally with his death and his resurrection, to come to the cross and to be crucified with Christ. That is the prerequisite for being raised with Christ. It is a living work accomplished daily and continuously in my personal sanctification. Now let me read you a practical letter from the Apostle Peter. Begins with his salutation from Peter, Apostle of Jesus Christ, to those of God's scattered people who lodge for a while in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He's writing to exiles, chosen of old in the purpose of God the Father, hallowed to his service by the Spirit. We all know the word hallowed. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But did you ever stop to think what it means? It means set apart, holy. And Peter uses exactly the same expression for these exiles who are Christians. Chosen, hallowed to his service by the Spirit, and consecrated with the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you in fullest measure. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us new birth unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The inheritance to which we are born, and if this applied to the exiles in Peter's day, I believe it applies to every one of us who has come to Christ in faith. The inheritance to which you and I are born is one that nothing can destroy or spoil or wither. It is kept for you in heaven, and you, because you put your faith in God, are under the protection of his power until salvation comes. The salvation which is even now in readiness will be revealed at the end of time. I've just read to verse 5 there, but just think of those words, that we're chosen to be made holy. It doesn't say we're chosen to be made happy. And we're going to come back to this, but in God's book, holiness is synonymous with happiness. We have to sort that out from our own very corrupted notions of happiness that the world gives us. So let's concentrate first of all on what it means to be holy. Before the foundation of the world, according to this letter of Peter's, we were chosen. We have been born again into life, a life full of hope. And so that tells us something about our future. Our future is a perfect inheritance, which is now guarded for us, kept far beyond the reach of change and decay. And that means joy. In verse 6, this is cause for great joy, even though now you smart for a little while, if need be, under trials of many kinds. Am I speaking to anyone today who is smarting from trials of many kinds? I would suppose that almost every one of you is smarting at least a little bit from something, maybe some nasty thing somebody said to you yesterday, maybe some rudeness or some lack of gratitude or appreciation. Just a little thing, but it hurts. It smarts. And then Peter goes on to say, this is no accident. Even gold has to pass through the assayer's fire, and more precious than perishable gold is faith which has stood the test. These trials come so that your faith may prove itself worthy of all praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This is cause for joy. It is not for nothing that God has allowed that smart. It is planned. That gives me hope. That gives me confidence. And even now he brings you joy, Peter says. If we aim at happiness in this world, we're probably going to miss the mark of holiness. But if we aim at holiness, we can't fail to be happy. A verse, which is one of my life verses, is in Psalm 119. I have found more joy along the path of thy commandments than in any kind of wealth. And I have found that every experience in my life, if offered to Jesus, can be my gateway to joy. It can also be the context in which God will bring me a little closer to the model of holiness set by his Son, Jesus Christ. But remember that you don't have to be perfect to be holy. Perfection is our object, of course. Jesus commands us, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect as I am perfect. That is our goal. But he begins by calling us apart, separating us from the world, and working in us as we respond to him in faith in everyday life to make us holy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.